Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, He had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are going to want to follow these instructions very, very carefully. Did German people actually talk like Fudd? What was it? Elmer Fudd?
Elmer Fudd. I don't think so.
Well, apparently they do now. This is Wretched Radio. Follow these instructions very, very carefully for your own good. You're going to want to take not just your right hand or left hand, but both hands, and sort of Jack Benny style, perhaps even a little bit more exaggerated, put them like on your hips, on your back, like your back hips. So you're like you're Jack Benny, but your hands are way behind, covering up your kidneys. Why? Because you're about to take a shot, and it's gonna hurt if you don't cover up. That's because Paul Washer is here. Well, he's not actually here, but we do have a recording of Paul Washer. Oofta. Delivering a number of kidney punches.
The problem in this country is not Hillary Clinton, it's not the Democratic Party, it's not the Republican Party, it's the evangelical conservative preachers that are the problem in this country.
Oh! Oh! Zing! Bow! The problem, according to Paul Washer, who apparently has music playing with him wherever he goes, it's the oddest phenomenon. Almost every video I see of Paul Washer, he's got some sort of music. Usually it's kind of dramatic, big bum, bum, bum sort of stuff going on. He's describing what's actually the issue in our country, and it is not the political realm. The political realm is merely the fruit of the spiritual realm, which is the jurisdiction of the Christian church, not of other religions. The only true religion, which is the religion of Jesus Christ, that is the problem with our country. And if you'll notice, Paul didn't just say these silly preachers, these sensations on YouTube. He's going after his own here.
The problem in this country is not Hillary Clinton. It's not the Democratic Party. It's not the Republican Party. It's the evangelical conservative preachers that are the problem in this country. It's the leaders in Christianity that are the problem in this country. And we've got to understand this. Things of history do not ride upon the governments of puny men. They ride upon the preaching of the gospel. All these evangelists, whether they're Baptist or whatever kind of evangelist, they go and they preach, and 100 people get saved in a small town. The only problem is none of them come to church on Sunday.
Where is he going with this? Why would these preachers be the problem with our country? Because they are creating a slew, and that's a lot, a slew of false converts. They're creating cold coal. They're creating individuals who profess to be followers of Christ, but aren't. Why? Because there's no fruit to accompany it. If you read virtually any poll these days, maybe it's because they're all taken to reveal this, but nevertheless, almost any religious poll is going to reveal that there are false converts galore, populating even good churches. Why? Because we are not preaching a robust gospel and the call to Christ, which demands everything. Hey, you say that it's about faith alone, grace alone. What do you mean it demands everything? Yeah, that's what a repentant faith is. I am done with me. I am not going to look back. I'm not going to bury the dead. I am going to follow Christ no matter what the cost is. That's salvific faith. How many gospel presentations include that high bar? Virtually none. And the harvest of false converts, which populates our land, will then reveal why we see other statistics. The growing number of people who have acceptance for aberrant, horrid, wicked behavior. We saw a poll, I think, last week. And I think it had to do with marriage. And now 70% of Republicans believe that gay marriage is okay. And yet 70% of this country claims to be Christian. Not good at math, but that doesn't add up. Why? because we've got oodles of false converts, and that's actually more than a slew.
But the evangelist goes right down to the next church and says 100 people got saved last week. Is it not true that the name of God is blasphemed among the unbelieving world because of our converts?
It is. And maybe not in ways that Lester Holt might report about on the evening news, just telling one side, of course. But this happens individually. Case in point, you're a young man. You profess to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You're dating a young lady. She's not saved, but you're hoping that she's going to somehow get it, or it'll rub off of you onto her and she's going to become a convert. And yet you treat her despicably by using her as a sex object. And then you tell her, let's go to church on Sunday. That besmirches the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe it won't make national news, but one after another, people who are willing to put a fish bumper sticker on their car and then treat their neighbors poorly, it is a slander to the name of Christ. And false converts have done that rather successfully. Why? Because of the poor evangelistic preaching of even decent evangelical pastors.
It is true. Everybody's been converted. Everybody's saved. Nobody's changed. Why? Because of us. Like I said so many times, we're like the ugly girl at the county dance who stands there at the wall. Anybody looks at us, any politician mentions God, we run to them and dance. Anyone who walks an aisle, we declare them born again. Do we really have such a puny view of the gospel? Are we really so ignorant? Why is it that some people in the church are concerned for holiness and other people could care less? Why is it that some of the students in your student groups are so concerned about holiness and others could care less? Why is it that some can live in rampant sin and not have a second thought or a word from God about discipline while others fear God? Because one group got saved and the other didn't. Your problem is you think just because they went through that little evangelical hoop jump of yours that they're all saved. They're not.
Got a question for you. You do not have to go back far in your Rolodex of sermon memories. Think Easter Sunday. Most certainly the gospel was presented Easter Sunday in some way, shape, or form in every evangelical church in the world. And no doubt the pastor did something of a shout out to the people in the earshot of his voice to what? To do what? Accept Jesus. Make him your Lord and Savior. Ask him into your heart. Will you receive him today? Will you say this prayer? Will you just believe? What was the gospel call that was delivered in your church? If it was not a high call of a death to self before entering into the kingdom of God, it wasn't robust enough. And the lower we make the standard of Christianity, make no mistake, it's by faith alone. But as we water down what faith is, just try Jesus. I remember a famous evangelist on Fox News. Hey, just give Jesus a try. And if after a month you don't like what he does for you, then you can give him back like he's a used car or he's some sort of widget on TV that includes free shipping to boot. That is what it takes to be a Christian? Are you kidding me? It is death to self. It is following our Savior. It is realizing I'm undone. I am a man of unclean lips. My whole being is worm-like, and I deserve wrath, and I'm done with me, and I want to live for him who died for me. Question, what did you hear in your church on Sunday? Was it a gospel call that demands all? I think we need to ask ourselves a question. Which do we prefer? A bloated evangelical church that looks big but isn't, that besmirches the name of Christ because of the behavior of so many false converts? Or can we be content with fewer people showing up Sunday morning and losing the hangers-on, those who just continue to come to church because they never feel uncomfortable, and they can slot right in without a problem. Which do we prefer? Which is better for the Church of Jesus Christ, not of Latter-day Saints? I think we all need to ask that question and answer it, because it appears that the reason our society is crumbling, it's not simply because a bad secular humanistic worldview has gained favor. It's because the gospel of Christ has lost it. It no longer has the sway. Why? Because tragically, most people who profess the name of Jesus Christ are not a genuine convert. And that is why we are seeing the country do what the country is doing, which means if we would like to change the course and the direction of our nation, which should not be our primary motivation, we better get back to the business of preaching like, oh, hold on, lost it. There was a man who preached, really, that you die to put your hand on the plow, you don't look back, you let the death.
Jesus?
That's the one right there. We need to go back to preaching the gospel like Jesus. How's your kidneys? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate you, and we want to point you in the direction of some amazing content, which is available to you at wretched.org. You'll find full 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, full 60-minute Wretched Radio episodes, our Wretched store, which contains over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, Don't Stub Your Toe, among many others, including the newly released Drive-By Biblical Counseling. It's available right now. You'll also find a ton of information on a ton of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology to marriage to evangelism. And while you're there, don't forget about visiting the donate page and become a gospel partner, because without the support of our listeners, there would be no Wretched. It's all available to you right now, 24/7 at wretched.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
You know Paul and Cindy Marty. They are the founders and the runners of the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Not only did the kids get saved.
We were in the country of Hungary, and we were meeting with our country director. His name is Zoltan. And we asked him, Zoltan, how did you come to Christ? And he said, 4 years ago, my wife and I went to a neighboring village where they had a camp. And he said, we heard the gospel and got saved. And he said, our entire village that we were living in were atheists. 4 years ago, this is. And he said, now we're the only two Christians. Our kids have become Christians, and they have a Tomorrow Club with 30 kids. Can you imagine? But there are still fully atheist villages. It's a great white harvest out there.
Indeed there is. Would you like to help with that harvest? Please consider sponsoring a Tomorrow Club. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Did you know Wretched has a new Bible study curriculum? That's right, and it's not the same old boring Bible study curriculum that you may be used to seeing. The Wretched Bible study curriculum is interesting. It's relevant. And of course, if it comes from Wretched, you already know it's biblical. These Bible studies are based on our resources Drive-By Marriage, Drive-By Parenting, Drive-By Theology, Jesus Unmasked, Stressed Out, Herman Who, and others. They're perfect for any youth group, adult small group, or even your own personal Bible study. You'll find that a Wretched Bible study will help you grow by taking you deeper into the Word than most Sunday school curriculums. And don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself by visiting wretched.org/study and picking up one of our new Wretched Bible studies. Wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. Remember, they're interesting, relevant, and of course, always biblical.
Know your reformers. William Tyndale provided the first complete translation of the New Testament into English in 1526. While he was in prison for the crime of translating the Bible, he continued to translate the Old Testament until he was strangled and burned at the stake in 1536. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You're gonna pay the price for not listening. This is Wretched Radio. Told ya, Jack Benny style. Put your hands on the back of your hips to protect your kidneys because they're gonna take a shot. And kidney punches hurt. And who better to deliver? Not one, but two of them. Paul Washer himself. Paul Washer, concerned about not what's happening in our country, but why our country is crumbling. And it's not because we are concerned about human flourishing, although that most certainly is a valid consideration and problem, that we happen to live in a nation that has afforded more good for more people than any system fallen human beings can concoct, that this brilliant system put together by a bunch of men who most likely weren't even Christian, certainly influenced by Christianity, wrote a declaration, a constitution, a bill of rights that is brilliant, has been refined a little bit, but overall has stood the test of time and has created more human flourishing than any other system. And it's a bummer to watch it crumble because you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that as more godless, unbiblical policies are implemented, whether it's by a Christian or not, the world will not run as well. If a rank heretic, he passes legislation that is more in alignment with biblical ideals, they'll do better, despite him, despite the people. Why? Because that's the way the universe operates. It's not just natural law that is at play in our universe. It is God's laws. So family, for instance, is important to God. And as it has been stated, it is the bedrock of a society. That little dynamic that the Bible describes for us right away, that it's supposed to be a man and a woman cleaving to one another till death do them part, making little image bearers of God, just training them up to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's like the best thing that there is right there. That's going to keep a nation stable, which is why, by the way, when you read through the Proverbs and you hear about naughty children, and we have a tendency to go, whoa, those punishments are a little severe. Well, maybe, just maybe, because it was a smaller economy and they couldn't absorb as many naughty kids. I think there was more to it than that. The importance of family. Because when somebody in a family is so trashing the thing, and I mean really wrecking it, not an annoying inconvenience, but really wrecking it, that's disruptive to the family unit. And that's not going to go well for a society and for a culture. God recognizes that. And so a principle at play in our world is that families should be strong and they should be defined biblically. So when an absolute rank pagan goes about the business of saying this is what a family is going to look like in our culture, it's going to help the culture. And conversely, when it is undermined, the nation is undermined, even if they aren't thinking about God when they do it, because those are the principles that God has implemented that are as much a fact of the universe, as scientific as gravity, are God's principles applied to a world, believing or otherwise. In general, things go better when you follow him. They go worse when you don't. And so we see a nation that's going slip-sliding away. And we can mourn the loss of human flourishing that goes with it because it will not go well for more people. It'll go poorer for more people. Paul Washer, I'm sure, is saddened by that. But he's more concerned about the reason why that the Christian church has not been preaching a right gospel, has been creating a lot of false converts, and as you're about to have your kidneys stung, is very concerned that preachers are not being bold as pastors. Please note, this is not for our shepherds to become imbalanced and constantly use their rod of authority. No, he shouldn't be constantly beating the sheep with his staff. But there are times when it is necessary. The wise shepherd, do you know where a sheep tends to get hit, where the shepherd uses his cane to get the sheep in order? On the snout, that hard part of their nose doesn't hurt as much, and it doesn't inflict any sort of wound on them to wreck their coat or the meat. To get their attention. Hey, get in line here. We've got a mission. We've got to get there. I've got to get you into that pen. Get in line. And he is willing to use it. Granted, sometimes he sends a sheepdog. That's typically what evangelists are for. But the point is, shepherds need to exercise their authority. Paul Washer's concern, they're not.
Now, I want you to think about something. Let's say I'm your pastor, and I come home from preaching in another place one night really late. It's like 11:30, and I come around this corner near your house, and your 14-year-old daughter's out there with a bunch of hoodlums. I mean, just doing all sorts of things. Now, I'm going to be angry as your pastor. I'm going to burn with indignation. From a testimony, I'm not going to pull up and tell her to get in the car, but I'm going to drive to your house as fast as I can get there. I'm going to pound on that door until you answer it. And I'm going to say, what on earth is wrong with you? And if you keep this up, I'm going to bring it before the rest of the elders. You repent right now. You're a derelict father. You're a derelict. You allow your 14-year-old daughter to run wild in the streets? We would all say that, I think.
We might say it behind closed doors, but typically not two people. And yet Paul Washer is making a little case here that most preachers would never do that. This is a total aside. This dynamic that he just described, it is so common. And parents so often are derelict in their duty to jump in and try to rescue their teenagers, boys or girls, from these scenarios because they just don't want the war at home. If you're a teenager, please note, your job is to do what your mother and father tell you to do. It will go better for you. You may not win the popularity award amongst the neighborhood hoodlums, but life will go better for you. And mom and dad, our job is to protect our children, even if it causes them to get annoyed with us. Pastor, your job would be to make sure that fathers are doing their job.
Man's a derelict. What's he doing? Yet you make the same claim about God and even boast in it. You boast in the fact that God has children running around all over this country, full of carnality, steeped in sin, doing whatever they want, and God does nothing according to your preaching. But they're saved, bless God. When you preach their funeral, you'll preach them straight into heaven. I've seen it 1,000 times. Remember just a while back, a man in my own town in Illinois, who was a known drug addict, drug dealer, fornicator, absolutely everything. He passes away. And the pastor of one of the largest Baptist churches in the area, standing there, funeral, places loaded with every person that's hardly ever been in church, drug addicts and everything you can imagine are all there in church to honor their dead friend. And that pastor gets up and he says, I praise God. I know this young man. He sowed a lot of wild oats, but when he was 9 years old, I was there when he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he's in heaven today. And all those lost sinners went straight out into the streets. Justified in their sin because of conservative evangelical Baptist preaching. That's typical in almost every church in this country.
Oh.
It's true. And it's pathetic. It's pathetic. You say, oh, that's mean-spirited. Let me ask you a question. My mother passed away last year, but I remember 3 years ago when I went to the doctor's office with her because she thought something's not right. And that doctor, very gentle, very noble, he looked at my mother and he says, Miss Washer, he goes, you've got cancer. And he goes, it's radical, it's bad, and we've got to move right now if we're going to have any chance of saving your life. I want you to know, that man made my mother cry. He hurt my mom. He ruined her day. We were going to go out to get something to eat. He ruined her week. He tore my mother to pieces. But he tried to save my mother's life. And if he hadn't done that, if he hadn't been so truthful, she'd have had no hope of salvation whatsoever. We'd have had no recourse at all. And he could have been kicked out of his own practice for being immoral. They ought to kick most pastors out of their practice. Because out of cowardice or self-preservation, they will not preach the gospel.
This now is my attempt to perhaps land a more stinging kidney punch than even the one that was just delivered by Paul Washer at an 11, by the way. You and I are looking around and we are seeing a nation that is changing, morals and values, standards, practices, foundations crumbling. And you and I have almost certainly said, well, a fruit of it will be the cleansing of the evangelical church. I think that's accurate. But isn't that our job? Aren't we the ones who are supposed to be cleansing the church? Aren't we the ones who are supposed to be pointing out that a lifestyle of unrepentant sin indicates an individual is of the devil? Aren't we the ones who are supposed to be preaching a gospel that is so high and lofty that it causes the individual who's self-deceived to scurry out because they just don't want to hear such excoriating preaching? Is it possible that God is having to do our job for us because we have failed to be bold in our gospel proclamations? The church is contaminated with false converts. And now God, who has been very patient with evangelical Christianity for decades, is going to do housekeeping for us? How are your kidneys? This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has formally dismissed the controversial Trump-era Commission on Unalienable Rights, which sought to elevate the promotion of religious freedom worldwide. Blinken, though, has vowed to promote LGBT rights worldwide and only briefly alluded to religious persecution in a press conference which unveiled the 45th State Department Country Reports on Human Rights Practices last Tuesday. The annual human rights reports comprehensively cover internationally recognized individual, civil, political, and worker rights, which are outlined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other international agreements in nearly 200 countries and territories. During that press conference, in his remarks, Blinken referred indirectly to former Secretary Mike Pompeo's Commission on Unalienable Rights, and he dismissed the Trump-era commission, which was a panel of experts formed in 2019 who argued in a report last July that religious freedom and the rights to property were more important human rights. Pompeo praised the report as one that reorients us back to the foundational unalienable rights that we are bound to protect. At the time, pro-abortion and pro-LGBT groups derided the commission as trying to devalue women's and LGBT rights. Pompeo argued at the time that the commission was formed as international institutions designed and built to protect human rights, which have drifted from their original mission. Travis Weber, the vice president for policy and government affairs and the director of the Center for Religious Liberty, said that the repudiation of the Commission on Unalienable Rights is an unfortunate development and argued that it diminishes religious freedom. He said, quote, "This signifies the downgrading of the role of religious freedom in foreign policy and, frankly, domestically as well, because the commission had elevated the role of religious freedom and articulated its role as an important human right." So that's a negative development in our view that the Biden administration is seeking to put all international human rights on the same level. Certain human rights, though, are more important than others, and religious freedom is one of them, end quote. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the true vine. The Old Testament describes Israel as a vine planted in the desert. Jesus is the true vine, and those who trust in him are grafted in to receive life and nourishment from Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Time now to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Which one is the most... That's right. Which story is the most... Jimmy?
Yep.
We've made the rules as simple as possible because you, as always, will represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program, acting as their federal head. Which story is the most,
Which
means it can be a bad story, it can be a good story, whichever one is the most, to you.
I'm ready. I love judging people.
It's one of my gifts.
That's right.
That I'm trying to mortify. Here we go. Story number one.
Oh, this is just so annoying.
Mary had a choice in giving birth to Jesus, says Catholic abortion rights group. That's right. This would be your bad logic and reasoning, all captured in one horrific headline. Mary had a choice in giving birth to Jesus, says Catholic abortion rights group. Quote, Mary, Mother of Christ, had a choice in conceiving him. If Mary had a choice, you should too. Well, let's examine the facts. Shall we? God, speaking to Mary, announces you are going to be with child. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. By the way, he wasn't really asking for her permission, like some people will say. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, didn't somebody say something like that? That therefore Mary was raped because God didn't ask permission? I mean, just staggering blasphemy. And this is just so ridiculous. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation, where the angel visited Mary and she said yes to being the mother of Jesus. Well, let's just take a look about the details here. There was nothing in there about a conversation that said, but look, if this is a hassle for you, inconvenient, doesn't allow you to go to university or perhaps get that raise that you were hoping for, you go ahead and just abort the Savior of the world. Didn't happen. Luke 1, Gabriel tells Mary, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. This was a shocking privilege. Hardly rape. I mean, honestly, what people do to the Bible. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And she said, may your word be fulfilled, in acknowledgement that she was going to be obedient. She didn't have a choice to get it aborted because that would be a violation of the rest of the Bible, which holds that the mother's womb is a sacred place, in that what is going on there is being knit together by God himself. And you can't take that life. That's story number one, Jimmy.
We can stop there.
That's a Catholic abortion rights group.
Yeah, they win.
Got right there. Story number two. The Biden administration looks to restore millions in funding to Planned Parenthood. That's right. Looks like $60 million, courtesy of Title X, will be going to Planned Parenthood, courtesy of the kind tweeter, Joe Biden. That's story number two for your consideration. Oh, this is one that you might like. This is the one. No, you might not like this. No, wait. It's what's the name of this game? You be the. This, I think I mentioned this last week here on Wretched Radio, that there are a group of colleges that have a connection to Planned Parenthood. Students for Life releases first list of Christian colleges with ties to Planned Parenthood. 23 colleges that partner with the abortion giant in some form, and it's wildly varying. Two schools that were on the initial list of 25 has since severed ties. Salute to them. Four Catholic institutions, five Lutheran schools, six universities affiliated with the United Methodist Church, two Methodist institutions, two colleges affiliated with the Presbyterian Church, and one Methodist Episcopal University. All have connections to Planned Parenthood. The type of connections of these colleges were found to be things as advertising Planned Parenthood internships and career postings. Fairness could have been an oversight. Referring students to Planned Parenthood as a resource. That's not an oversight. That's a big no-no. Incorporating Planned Parenthood into medical school rotations and hosting events for students with Planned Parenthood. Would you like to know what some of those schools are? I happen to notice a couple of names on this list.
Yeah, that helped me make my decision.
Augsburg University in Minnesota. Lovely campus right there in the heart of St. Paul, Minnesota. Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. Another lovely campus in the middle of Iowa. And McAllister College, which is Presbyterian, which I did not know. McAllister College is the first place that I was introduced to postmodernism. We were still doing a radio from a cinder block bunker in the middle of a field known as KKMS in the Twin Cities. I went out into the streets to talk, to witness to kids. This is probably when I first got introduced to Ray Comfort, Way of the Master. Went out into the streets, and wow, was it a mess. Nevertheless, went to McAllister College, which is a liberal arts, now I know Presbyterian school, and I started to run smack into postmodernism. Now, y'all, this is pushing 20 years ago, at least. And these kids were thoroughly postmodern. And I, because I remember saying to this one young lady, this is pretty close. I said, so let me get this straight. If I believe that Oprah Winfrey is God and I can spend eternity with her in that tree, and I pointed to a tree, with her private chef and her private trainer without Stedman, is that true? And I was like kind of joking. If that's what you believe, then it's true for you. Springs went flying out of my head. That's 20 years ago. Postmodernism, it didn't show up just a few months ago. It's been here a long time. Jimmy, are you ready for story number 4?
I'm ready.
I have no idea what we're doing here. I'll be perfectly honest with you.
I can tell.
This happens to be John Hagee. Apparently, he came out and said, you do not need to get the vaccination. Quote, I bring under the authority of Jesus Christ every sickness and every disease, and especially the COVID thing that's sweeping this nation. We have a vaccine. The name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Now, please note, that's what he said before getting the vaccination, which caused no small amount of scornful responses from the local newspapers because he got an actual vaccination when speaking what he spoke. Ready, Jimmy, for the next story?
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. This would be your Mozambique. Militants beheading children as young as 11. That's all you need to know right there. Next story, Monopoly. Long overdue, socially conscious makeover. Hasbro will change all 16 of Monopoly's community chess cards to remove outdated concepts. The company said the classic versions of the cards, which included prompts referencing beauty contests, and holiday funds were long overdue for a refresh. So, beauty contests are now offensive. Now, from a Christian perspective, we might be able to make that case. But we know what's afoot here, don't we? New community chess cards will focus on topics that emphasize community, asking the public to vote on potential replacements with rewards for in-game actions such as rescuing a puppy or shopping local. Would be two of the options right there. Other cards would penalize players for forgetting to recycle or for blasting music too late at night. Further additions. Oh, this is a big penalty now with the new community chess cards. If you say God bless you when somebody sneezes, that's going to get you in big trouble. When you say goodbye, you can't say that anymore because good is short for God and it's got an extra vowel, but it's really an allusion to God. So that's going to get you in trouble too. So you can't have a good day anymore either. Those are the new rules for the Hasbro. Okay, I made a couple of those up, but the point is, by the way, I just read Portland, a high school was looking to do a new mascot. And they were going to go with Evergreen Tree. Now, I don't know about the fighting evergreens, but they probably don't do much fighting these days in the Pacific Northwest. But I wonder what the football team is like in Portland. At any rate, they were going to do the Evergreen Tree. That was the most popular one. But then somebody pointed out, no, it's racist because a pine tree could be used for a lynching. That is the thinking of our world right now. Jimmy, make it snappy. Which one is most...
Yeah, I would have to go with story number 1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So everything was downhill after that.
Yes.
No, for real, that was at the bottom of the barrel to begin with, and you just kept swimming in the tank. This is Wretched Radio. Well, here's something you'll almost never hear a talk radio show host say, don't be like me. That's right, a talk show host saying, don't be like me. Why? because we dilly-dallied regarding MediShare. We learned about affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to traditional health insurance, which saves on average $500 per month per family. And we thought, And the next thing you know, over 24 months went by before we got serious about investigating MediShare. We did. It passed the Friel Family Sniff Test, and we are very happy that we are members and only lament that we hadn't done it sooner. So please, don't be like me. Check out MediShare for you and your family. 1-844-34-BIBLE. Call now. 1-844-34-BIBLE.
The father of lies has been a murderer from the start. His MO hasn't changed in 6,000 years. He desires to deceive people into doubt, and that can ultimately lead to disjointed desires, affections, behaviors, thinking, and worship. But Jesus is much better at what he does, telling the truth and giving life abundantly. And we want to help remind you of all the promises God has given us and just how much his word is sufficient for all of our struggles. Drive-by Biblical Counseling 3 is here. It's a 63 lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, and suicide. Order your copy right now and start learning how to apply the truth of Scripture to your life and to your struggles. God hasn't left us empty-handed. Drive-by Biblical Counseling 3 is available right now at wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
If you lament and mourn that over 3,000 babies are terminated every day in this country because of the sin of abortion, would you please visit preborn.org/wretched? Learn about a ministry that is holistic. It preaches the gospel to mom. She gets saved and it ends this cycle of unwed pregnancies, abortion, unwed pregnancies, abortion. The gospel puts a halt to that. And then when a mom sees an ultrasound of her child, 80% of the time she determines, that's my baby and I'm going to keep my child. That is what preborn.org is all about. And so if you mourn the wicked sin of abortion and its consequences, and I know you do, visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle John wrote a third epistle, commending Christians who were walking in the truth and showing love by their hospitality. He warned against a selfish and diversive man, whom he criticized publicly, specifically, and by name. As you continue to walk in the truth, take care to show hospitality to good teachers and avoid bad teachers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is not intended to annoy you. This is Wretched Radio. My intention in sharing this little idea is to actually help us and to not hurt anybody. So please hear the intention of my motivation as I try to perhaps bring a little bit of understanding in a world that is telling us that we are to understand each other in completely bad ways. What happens when two people are told things, perhaps lies, about another group of people or another person? Well, you go to war. They become your enemy. And that's precisely what is happening in our culture, because we are told these days that there has been an awful amount of oppression from one people group over another people group. That white people have been oppressing black people now for centuries in this country, and therefore anything that is associated with whiteness, however you choose to define that, it needs to be erased, repented, paid for, and then never happen again with a new set of values that will not allow for white people to oppress black people anymore. That's the current culture that we're living in, and it is causing way too much fighting, even among Christians, and that ought not to be. And so it is, I would simply like to share a story with you in an effort to perhaps help, in this instance, one of those people groups get better. Now, perhaps today, perhaps another day, we'll talk about how the other people group can maybe rethink some things. But right now, let us consider this as an opportunity, maybe, just maybe, to speak in a way that is more helpful than divisive. Because we've been hearing enough of that, haven't we? Would like to do a little bit of a heart search exploration. I'm not going into your ventricles. I would like to ask you to do that if you happen to be white. I would like to share with you a story, and then I would like for you to consider how you feel about it. Here's the headline. Farmers react to billions in COVID-19 relief bill for black farmers. This is from Fox News. The relief package includes an estimated $4 billion to pay up to 120% of black, Hispanic, Asian, or Native American farmers' outstanding debt as of January 1st. In other words, our government is passing legislation that will give money to help farmers who are in debt based solely on their skin color. That's it. It's not about how well they did as farmers. It makes no difference what the rain delivered or failed to bring. It doesn't matter how hard they worked the land or didn't. Based on skin color alone, if you have debt, our government, because of the COVID business, is going to give them $1.25 billion to get out of debt based on skin color. Here's my question for my white brothers and sisters, and I don't mind telling you how much I despise these categories. How do you feel about that? How does that rub you? Imagine you're a white farmer down the street from a black farmer, and suddenly you're both in debt, but one of you isn't because the government bailed you out based on your skin color. How would you feel? And I think if we're being honest with ourselves, we would cry, that's not fair. Now, I want to do another thought experiment with you in an effort. Remember, we're just doing one side right now, in an effort to perhaps speak and think just a little bit more, dare I say, sensitively about some of these subjects. Let's continue with our thought experiment. Not only did the person down the street have their debts relieved because of their skin color, the government then started providing bennies and advantages for them to do better. And it happened not once, not twice, but let's just say it happened for years, no decades. How would you start to feel about your black farming neighbor? I think if we're being honest, we could become rather resentful and maybe angry. And if that's true, now we need to apply our thought experiment very thoughtfully and very carefully, focusing on what I'm trying to say and not what I'm not trying to say. I'm not trying to say this is the whole problem. I'm not trying to say there isn't another side of the story. I'm not suggesting there aren't other issues and considerations. It's not my intent with this little thought exercise. It is to perhaps understand how our black brothers and sisters might be feeling if they felt this is precisely what has been going on in America. Now, let me just stop right there and inject this just for a moment. The reality of whether or not it's been happening is irrelevant. Okay? That debate, that's just another conversation. It's another interesting dialogue that we can have. But that's not what is in view here. The point is not whether or not these types of advantages are baked into the current system. Let's say post Jim Crow. That's not the point. The point is if you are being told, whether true or false, that white people live inside of a system that benefits them solely because of their skin color, whether it's true or false, not my point. Can you imagine now why they might be rather upset, angry, and not wanting the current system to continue? Please note, that is the limitation of what I'm trying to say here. That you and I, when we engage in these demanded conversations that everybody seems to be about, we've got to have conversations, everything is about conversations. Okay, let's have a conversation about this. But as I enter into it, rather than having my argument against the thinking, whether it is statistically backed up, whether I can show legislation that speaks otherwise, I'm simply suggesting that maybe as I begin the conversation with somebody, I can kind of empathize with where they're coming from. You know what? I can imagine how angry I would be if I lived in a system that were stacked against me simply because of my skin color. I would be really, I'd be inclined to sin. And I could understand what frustration of that degree felt like if that is the system that I were living in, and that is what I believed was happening. Wow, I get it, my friend. I get it. Is it possible that this could possibly help us, possibly by me, possibly a little bit, to just talk about it with less of a confrontational style and more of an empathetic and a sympathetic position to go, okay, I get you. I understand. You know what? I understand. Now, having said that, let's dive into that, because I will tell you this. If that's true, if indeed the cards are stacked against you simply because of your skin color, because I can understand how infuriating that would be and how the Bible speaks against imbalanced scales, that ought not to be. I will join you in your desire to erase that and to fix that. I am with you totally and completely. Question. Have we seeded the argument in any way by talking like that? And the answer is no. I know we feel that way because we've been so trained by the oratory of cable news that you can't ever say to the opponent, you know, that's a good point. You know what? I'm going to think about, thank you for that. You can't do that, man. You got to just, you got to win. I'm not sure that's the way the Christian should be approaching conversations. I think that we can actually say, I feel you. I agree with you that would be an outrage if that's true. Now, let's go explore and see if it is. And then the other side, hopefully, can be willing to say, and you know what? I don't want to be breaking something that's good if indeed it is good. So let's go look together and just see what sort of a system we've got. Maybe, just maybe, this thought experiment will help us to that end. The end. Jimmy?
Yes?
How many people are going to be annoyed with me for that little thought experiment?
Yeah, I don't think many. I think you make really good points.
But perhaps that, please note, if you're annoyed with me right now, I'm not trying to. Please just focus on my effort here to try to help our hearts. Not because this is the politically correct tone of the day. No, because my Bible tells me that I am supposed to be weeping with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. And whether it is rightly informed or not, if there is a person in my life who is hurting because of their current beliefs, right, wrong, or indifferent, I can at least walk alongside them and say, brother, sister, I can imagine that feeling. I don't think we've given away anything. And then maybe, just maybe, a more appropriate and godly conversation could actually happen. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.